Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm Jamie McMillan. With me on the show, as always, are former Scotland captain Chris Patterson and current Scotland captain Rachel Malcolm. Our special guests this week are from Fosrock Super 6 and are Ben Cairns of Stirling County and Rob Christie of Southern Knights. Well, delighted to be joined on the podcast now by Southern Knights head coach Rob Christie and Stirling head coach Ben Cairns. Rob, I'll come to you first. It was the opening weekend of the Fosrock Super 6. It was a 24-all draw at Bridge Hall. What are your thoughts on the opening game and the opening round of the Fosrock Super 6?
That's a great question. firstly, it was brilliant to get back playing. And, you know, regardless of the kind of result, we've had to kind of wait quite a long time. We've been through quite a bit to get to that point. So, you know, it was great to get back playing. The players were really excited. Obviously, we are working in a little bit different circumstances, but ultimately we're getting to play the game that we all want to be a part of. So that was great. In relation to the game, there was some really, really good stuff, which we'll kind of grab onto. And there's maybe no so good stuff that we need to get rid of quite quickly. There's enough in the game for us that I think we can be positive around.
Was one of the kind of highlights, I suppose, the fact that you fought back at 19-5 down at one point, and then pretty late on the game, 24-19 down as well. So after going ahead initially, you kind of had to fight back. So away from home, that'll be one of the pleasing bits, is it, Bob?
Absolutely, and there's quite a big moment. I don't know if Ben can remember. We kind of had a driving line out, and we were right in there again, and we dropped it straight off the driving line out. And you're thinking, oh, that's it gone there. Like, you know, we kind of looked at each other as a coaching group, myself, Fordy, and Lewis, and like, it's probably our last real opportunity. So yeah, to kind of stick at it and kind of eventually get a draw was really positive. But I would like to think when we looked at the game that we had plenty of chances to probably get over the line before then. But credit to Stirling, look, they defended really well. Tom Gordon's brother, is it Connor, the 7, he made 19 out of 19 tackles. He put in a massive shift. So, you know, it wasn't all obviously about us. They made it really difficult for us, so credit to them as well.
Do you agree, Ben? Were you quite happy with how things... It's difficult. You guys drew last season, or the opening season as well, didn't you?
Same result, 24-0.
Is it the same score?
Yeah. Exactly the same score. The only difference was the Knights kicked the goal to draw rather than miss it to win this time, I guess. So, I'd be similar, but on the flip, I guess, the complete contrast. We were really happy with our conversion rate. You know, I think that was, I think we had some like 6 visits and converted three of them plus 3 points. So we were really happy with that. 3 first phase tries. Disappointed with that sort of the way we played in the middle third of the pitch. You know, we defended very well there, but our discipline cost us a bit. We struggled to exit and get further up the pitch. So we spent a lot of time defending. And then towards the end of the game, I guess, you know, we sort of felt like the last 20 minutes, there was only one team really that were in the ascendancy and looking to score points, and we were hanging on. We ran out of puff for sure, just with the amount we had to defend. Look, couldn't fault the effort of the guys, and that came through massively in the defence, but just ran out of steam towards the end. And in some respects, you know, especially with the missed goal, the missed conversion to win it from a Knights point of view, we're pretty happy with the draw in the end.
Rob, you touched on, obviously, it's been a long while since anyone's played in your league. Did you think that kind of impacted the game, and if so, what aspects of the game do you think that big layoff has had an impact on?
Yeah, look, not just our game. Like, you look at the 3 games across the weekend, look, there's players making mistakes that you'd like to think once we get to kind of week 4, week 5, week 6, that they're really not making those mistakes. So, you know, some quite basic errors, you know, Harriet's had an opportunity, pretty much it's a walk-in, and the boy dropped the ball going over the line pretty much. And, you know, you'd like to think that once we get going properly, that these little errors are gone and the quality of performances will come up. And that's probably the big one for me. You know, just silly little errors that they wouldn't usually be making if they'd been playing week in, week out and in a rhythm. and all connected with each other as well, because you have to think, you know, we've not been able to train properly as well as a team and really work on our connections. A lot of it has been done in a lot of groups, isolation, you know, without making any excuses. But, you know, we need to fly on now and hopefully get up to speed as quick as we can so we can't out those errors.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think the Friday night game was probably, maybe because it was the first game, but it was kind of littered with unforced errors towards your game and maybe more the Sunday game. The errors were more forced. And it is, it's a double whammy of A, not playing for so long, and B, never mind not playing for so long, it's first game of the season. It's actually first game of the season without a preparation together as well. So it is, I think those things will be ironed out pretty quickly. I suppose on that point as well, Ben, like, well, we're recording Tuesday, you're going for Saturday, and then you play on Friday night. So what does a Tuesday look like for a Super Six side, for what, I suppose, for you guys as head coaches and then your players? Well, have you reviewed already? Will you review today? Yeah. Will there be an on-field session as well? Give us an idea of a kind of semi-professional feel.
We'll train three times a week at the moment. So we're Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday. So the guys were all in yesterday. We sort of split our squad in two to high game time and low game time from the weekend. And then that'll determine what they do on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. We tried to get through as much of a review through Sunday and into Monday. Get all the sort of big boulders discussed and put away from a review point of view on a Monday.
And are the players involved in that process as well? Or is that mainly coaches? Yeah.
No, we'll send clips out for discussion to the players, and we'll create a lot of discussion remotely around clips. And then our job as coaches, I guess, along with our senior player group, is to gauge the sort of grey areas and then make sure we've got, we're a bit more black and white in terms of the way forward for the week ahead. That process will finish usually around Tuesday afternoon. We'll finalise things, finalise our KPIs, all that kind of stuff from a review point of view. And then it's very much starting to focus on preview, starting to get those games up and shared with the boys so that they can have a look and start feeding in. Coaches will be a little bit ahead of that already. So we'll have already seen the week previous and then been trying to catch up with the game at the weekend from our opposition. And then we'll try and put that together for a Tuesday night and get most of our preview stuff done on a Tuesday night. Our Tuesday's also our big session. So that'll be our defence contact session. If we're going to do contact in the week, it'll be on a Tuesday. It'll be a bit longer. We'll have our full complement of coaches down that night as well. And then putting the finishing touches on a Thursday.
A lot to squeeze in, isn't it? A lot of work. You guys have the free rein effectively as head coaches to set up your strategy, to set up your week. Would yours be quite similar, Rob, or is it?
Our week's a little bit different because we play Sunday this week. So yeah. Our first night's Tuesday. So we're doing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday this week.
So that'll change week on week. And
As we got our fixture card out, the first thing we did was set out the schedule to the players so they knew exactly where they were, because look, they are part-time professionals. So it's important we get the balance right with their lifestyles as well. But ultimately, we as coaches want the best product on the pitch and we want to be performing as well. So there is a little bit of a juggling act. Similar to Ben, we do a lot through groups remotely. A lot of the clips go out, and as long as I'm happy with what I'm seeing coming back from the group, I'm good with that. You know, I don't think I need to chip in too much as long as the information that's coming back from the players is accurate and what I'm kind of looking for.
And you both played professionally. Obviously, Ben, you were Edinburgh and international with Scotland. Rob, you played in professional Scotland. You played down in Bath. You played overseas as well. Does that make it easier or more difficult to almost put yourself in the part-time professional player's shoes? Because there will be a tendency or a willingness to make it fully professional, but it's just not possible that you see the balance in that and the juggling act. So how do you get the right balance? I assume you listen to your players as well, but can you push them too far, for instance?
I definitely struggled with that when I first went into coaching, for sure. Yeah. Going from being a full-time player into pretty quickly into head coach at Curry Tuesday, Thursday night, and trying to get like where my expectations were of what I expected the guys to do on a weekly basis to what they were actually able to do were two completely different things. And then I guess you just from my end, you just learn, you know, you just get better at it. And it's ultimately, it's about supporting the players as much as we can to get the best out of them at the weekend. And, you know, they've got a lot more things to juggle in their life compared to a full-time pro player. So you have to take that into account. We'll have some guys that don't train. They'll only train twice a week because of their circumstances. And you've got to have a little bit of an individual process around that, I reckon.
The pro game have some of them as well, don't they? The guys only train once or twice a week.
Fit,
some of the
fit
older
for Thursday. Fit for Thursday.
Team run. Yeah. And Bob, you've got loads of experience as a player and, you know, working and, you know, lecturing at the same time as coaching Melrose and stuff. All that just builds a great picture as to how to, I suppose, get the right balance in this 11-week programme as it is at the moment.
Yeah, I know. You say I was professional, must say it was guy amateur when I played, like, I'll be honest.
didn't give her age away, Bob.
So
yeah. You played what, down in Bath?
I went down south, so I was pretty fortunate that basically I finished uni and then I got an opportunity to go down south. Yeah. And I was down south for 5 years, so I was at Bath for a couple, and then I was in the Championship with Coventry, where we were all right at that point. And then I came back and I finished at the Border Reavers, and then I went across to Australia and stuff. So I've been around and I've been in a few different environments, as you say. But yeah, no, I think Ben just touched on it, and you touched on it there, Mossy, as well. Like, you got to listen to your players. I think that's really important, and you get a feel of where they're at. I rely quite heavily on my players. I speak to them quite a lot, and, you know, and ask them quite basic questions. How are you feeling?
Yeah,
you know. How hard was that session? How hard was the weekend? What's the body feeling like? Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm reliant upon them being honest and accurate with their feedback to myself as well. So, yeah, I think that's the only thing you can do. I think that we would be wrong to treat them as full-time professionals, because they're not.
Yeah,
some are aspiring to be and some are in that environment, which is great. But then you have also got guys who are pretty much full-time work on side of the rugby as well. So, and that doesn't mean that they're not any more worth than the ones that are full time with the pro teams or anything. So some of these guys are bloody good rugby players.
Yeah,
and they add massively to our environments. So it's really important, I think, in all Super Six squads that we continue to have a balance between your young aspiring players and then balance that with your experienced guys that have maybe been played at a level but now are maybe transitioning into the workplace as well. And I quite enjoy that, you know. I quite enjoy helping players that are going the other way. You know, I've worked with players that have had aspirations to become pro and play for Scotland, you know. But then also supporting guys coming down the other way is just as important. And I think Super Six has got a massive role in that.
Ben, yeah, big game for Stirling this Friday as you take on Watsonians. Looking at their opening fixture, what did you make of them and what do you expect this Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think that fixture, the Bulls Watsonians game was similar to probably what we touched on earlier, you know, like very even, lots of opportunity. Probably Watsonians had less opportunities than the Bulls, but took their chances better. They've got a 10 in Lee Miller that gets them in the right areas, which makes things a lot easier. And then they're pretty clinical. You know, I think their green zone was 50%, gold zone conversion rate. So within the 22 was at 50%, so pretty high. So we know they're a clinical team. You know, it's their first home game. Friday nights at Myerside are normally a big occasion, really, really good atmosphere. So we know they'll be massively up for it. You know, we've got to take advantage of the short turnaround for them. They've gone Sunday to Friday, so we would expect a few changes. So we're looking at preview, but it's pretty hard to focus too much on them off the back of one game and such a short turnaround. So we'll focus on ourselves, try and get, you know, some improvements in some of the areas that we felt let us down at the weekend, keep those effort areas so high that we felt like they were at the weekend, and hopefully put a performance together that results in a good win for us.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Watsonians played it was a good game. The lead changed hands five times, but when it came down to that really crucial part about the 55, 60 minutes, Watsonians almost, like they had in the first half, I suppose, taken the opportunities, but also played really well away from home. Like they made Ayr play a lot, and then Ayr potentially maybe overplayed, who will be dangerous when they get it right, because they've got some cracking players as well. But then in that 60-minute period, I thought Watsonian's discipline was really good, and they won the penalties that allowed them to get the territory that Lee Miller kicked or put them in the right field position. So that should be a top game. And Rob, you play, you're away again, two away games to start the Fosrock Super Six. You're away on Sunday at Goldacre, who obviously Heracles are chasing their first one as well, coming just short on Friday night. Have you got a good idea what to expect for the Heracles lads?
Look, I think they'll be a bit sore after that on Friday night, if I'm being honest. Yeah. They obviously came back quite well, and again they had an opportunity to draw the game at the end, but
there's no many times you see a kick hitting off the inside of the post.
No, I was going to say that. I think the stars were against them that night, definitely. Some of the stuff. It was a strange game. You know, you look, even the scrum dominance that was, you know, Birmingham were dominant initially, and then it went and it swung the other way when Strew and Sesford and these boys came on. So similar to Ben, I think for us, we just got to really focus on ourselves and making sure that we iron out what we need to iron out and try and be a bit better and cut out some of those errors that I touched on earlier. If we can do that, I think that's the most important thing. From Heriot's point of view, you can still see that they want to play. They're traditionally a team that wants to play. They've got some good outside backs that are a threat. And Callum Young, who they've brought up, you know, he's a very good runner, Scotland Sevens player as well. So, you know, give him space. He can score tries. There's no doubts about that. So, yeah, look, they'll look to bounce back. So we've got to be ready for that. But ultimately, we've got to impose ourselves on them as well.
Well, proud to have Rob Christie of Southern Knights and Ben Cairns of Stirling on the podcast to look back and preview round two of the Fosrock Super Six. Marty, two coaches you know very well, two probably very different coaches, but two very driven and very passionate about the game, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of rugby knowledge there and coaching experience for, you know, relatively young men. They've been involved at lots of different levels for a long, long time as players, as coaches, as assistant coaches, as, you know, working at the club game, you name it. There's a lot of experience, and they're both very, as you say, driven and really principled in what they believe the team should play like. I mean, it's a good opportunity. And to be honest, they're not alone. That's the, you know, across the Super Six. And if you look across the Super Six again, so it was 7 points in total, covered three games. Mm-hmm. The game that was obviously a draw, their game was 24-all. It was a game that was a 2-point margin and a game and a 5-point margin. So it's really hard. And I understand what they're saying there about it's difficult to preview your opposition because, you've only had 1 week. And although not only have they not played for 18 months prior to that, there's a lot of reasonable turnover within the teams themselves. So it's hard to predict how teams are going to play. So it is going to be really close, especially for the first few weeks. But a couple of coaches that know the game well, that are, you know, driven, passionate coaches. And you can see how seriously they're taking it. But you can also see that the level of understanding they have for the player being a part-time professional rather than a full-time professional, which is really important. It's probably one of the key things to understand and manage in that group.
Well, it feels like it has come very quickly, but it is the third and final test of the British and Irish Lions this Saturday against South Africa. Now, Warren Gatland's named the squad to face South Africa, as I said, in test number three, all to play for in this final game. Rach, what do you make of the team selection that Warren's gone for then?
I think a few probably needed changes. I think you can see, I think particularly with someone like Ali coming in, bringing a little bit more kind of speed and urgency around the attack in particular, which I think was evident in the last game. They were just kind of a bit slow around that area. I think Chris Harris has been really unlucky to miss out. I thought he was one of the players that actually had a good game in the second test, and I think he's been quite unlucky there. I think I'm a big Josh Adams fan, so I think him coming into the side hopefully give them a little bit more kind of, I guess, firepower on the wing and creating something. Again, I think Anthony Watson was again one of the players I thought played quite well, so he's unlucky to miss out. But I think Ali coming in's massive for them, and Finn on the bench as well. You know, we know what he brings, that bit of unknown and kind of creative play. So yeah, it's a bit more of a kind of attacking, creative squad. So we'd hope to see that transfer into how they play.
It's almost like a, I don't know, I might be doing a disservice, but like a halfway house in some ways.
And yeah.
I think, you know, there's merit in whatever you do, isn't there, Lee? I mean, the tendency after the game at the weekend, or the kind of narrative would be throw everything out, start again. But then if that doesn't work, you're then going to ask yourself, why did I change everything without preparation? A lot of the players come in and probably haven't played for 2-3 weeks. You know, that, or if you do the same again or go really similar to what you've had, you know, the story quite rightly is you're going to struggle to beat Springboks doing that, because Springboks have got more game time together. I thought Springboks were poor in week one, and we said that. The Lions got pretty lucky in that first test in a lot of elements, but deserved the win. And then just falling the wrong side of a handful of things or different parts of the game, and international rugby at the moment can conflict between, you know, being in a game and then being heavily beaten or soundly beaten. And sometimes there's not that much wrong. Other times there is. But it's just there's such a massive swing on bits of the game. And I think the Lions were, you know, soundly beaten at the weekend. But they actually, first half wasn't too bad. Second half was very poor. So I feel the team selection this week is a hint towards more attacking play, but not all out. You might have or could have expected, but you can understand why. What you need for attacking play is quality possession. No matter what your game plan is, what your style is, you need that quality possession, you need that go forward, you need that ability to get quick ball, and they never got it. And a lot of that was down to their errors, the Lions' errors. I didn't enjoy the game, in all honesty. I'm in that pool of, it went, you know, it was a long, long time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The one thing I'd say is maybe been overlooked and all getting maybe pulled down a wee bit was South Africa's tries were really good though. Do you know there's a chain of thought that nobody played, it was a stalemate, which it kind of was in the whole, but the two South African tries I thought were excellent and quite un-South African, like, really, in terms of both involved kick attack, both involved spreading, you know, to the width and a bit of unknown quantity about them. So what do you think will happen this week? I don't know, I think momentum's, I would think, more with South Africa than the Lions, because South Africa are getting better the more games they play together, and the Lions are at the end of a long, long season. But listen, we've all played sport. We all know, I think, what position you'd rather be in. And when your back's against the wall, you come out fighting. It wouldn't surprise me if the Lions get a little bit of the game right and come out on top. But I think the momentum's definitely South Africa. So I think it's South Africa the favourites, but There might be something unexpected happens.
I really respect the fact that you mentioned that we all played sport, even though that my Aaron's Sevens appearance doesn't compare to your guys' Six Nations appearances.
Every week you come out with another high profile event you've been involved in.
Aye.
Brilliant.
I've got so many to get through. It's just that I've traveled the world playing the game, you know.
Was it a bad experience in the Aaron's Sevens?
Almost. Our hooker missed the boat home, so he had to spend the night in Arran. As Rachel knows, when you go to Arran, if you miss the last ferry home, that's you scuppered. Yeah, he had said it right. But no, for anyone from Arran listening, it's a great competition if you can get along.
I was going to say, great place to be stuck.
Great place to be stuck. So, but back to the Lions. Six changes, I think, that Warren's gone for. And you look at the bench as well. You say, you know, Kevin Dickey on the bench. Kyle Sinclair, who was cited, but I believe he's been cleared now, so he can feature. Conor Murray. And Finn Russell. Great that we might be able to see Finn come on the pitch for, you know, a test match. You know, I know he featured previous tour, but in a test match, he'll be delighted. And it's, you know, open question to you guys. Is Finn, he probably is the kind of player that you maybe want in this situation, where if you're kind of do or die rugby, just go for it. Finn could open up a game and really just make things happen, couldn't he? So not a bad player to have on the bench, Mossy.
Oh, listen, absolutely. And it's, don't be confused or misled into thinking it's all or nothing. Finn is an astute player who makes the right decision at the right time. Sometimes he can make errors, of course, because he's you know, pushing maybe the, you're maybe not going for the safest options at times. But if you ask him why he went for that option, he'll tell you right away because he knows. So it's, and he reads the game really well. He understands it. And I do think the way South Africa defend, there's space somewhere on the field. And I think his short attack and kicking is up there with the best in the world. And I do think there's space there to exploit, especially even if you kick and you don't score immediately, you're stretching the defence out a wee bit, you're changing the picture. So like a crossfield kick to the winger who effectively gets tackled and you recycle ball might seem like a failure at a time or not a success, but the knock-on effect that has, the threat of kick, the threat of an attacking kick changes defences. And the speed at which South Africa come off the line, we'll have to think twice if there are kind of more pictures to cover. So yeah, listen, I think I'd love to see him get in the field and do what he can do. Sam Simmons is a similar one in a forwards perspective where it's just a little bit of a different picture. So the it's so hard. It's so hard to call because you need possession, as I said before. You need possession in order to affect the game. And I don't think the Lions sources of possession were good enough at the weekend. They'll have to be better for whoever's playing or whoever's in the field to try and dictate an attack. You'll know that, Rach. And sometimes it's just, how do you get your hands in the ball? You can't affect the game really without your hands in the ball. But if your line it wasn't as good as it should be, your scrum's disrupted a wee bit, seemed to very difficultly to make turnovers at the weekend, and the kick receipt was poor. How do you affect, no matter who you're playing, how do you affect the game if you've not got possession?
Yeah, no, it's near on impossible, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. And I think this scrum was probably one of the big kind of shifts in the second test in terms of South Africa being pretty dominant. So Wynn Jones coming back in at loose head will be an interesting one to see how he influences that, I think, because he was in such good form before he picked up that injury. So I think that could be a big one. Obviously, South Africa also not having Fath de Klerk playing plays into our hands a little bit in the sense of he is kind of the linchpin for them in terms of their attack. And also just is bloody annoying and everywhere. So that'll be two kind of, I guess, key selections on either side, which could influence things a little bit. And like you say, I think the Lions have got to get ball. They've got to get go forward ball to be able to do anything.
I suppose that the other point that we should make around kicking or kick or the perception of kicking the ball away is you've got to be brave when you attack. We hear about bravery in defence, we hear about courage in defence, but you've got to be brave in attack. And the kind of tipping point in the first test was when the Lions kept possession and built, you know, just after that half time, and they were quick, they were dynamic, they kept possession, they stressed the defence, they stressed the Springboks. They didn't do that on that second test. It was almost as if they feared being turned over, the fear being penalised, and had to maybe get a kick away or not give that extra pass or try not to take that extra phase when it's needed. But I actually think that's the way that the Lions would be more successful if they were brave and courageous and held on to the ball longer. But I do think that short attack and kicking game is vital. And having an opportunity to win the ball back is the one of the most important elements of that. But just stepping outside the kind of flow of the rhythm of the game where it's, you know, kick chase, turnover, set piece, kick chase, getting out of that and almost making the Springboks play multi-phase, even if you are conceding yards at times, even if you are, you know, feel as if you're not really influencing the game that much, the time that you spend in possession over the 80 minutes can be really important.
That's all from us on the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with more exclusive content.